Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. My name is Reagan Warfield. In the studio with us today, the executive director of Pets on Wheels, Gina Casimir.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having us.
So first of all, tell us all about what Pets on Wheels does.
Pets on Wheels does magic. I know, it sounds ridiculous, but it's really the truth. We do friendly therapy pet visits throughout most of the state of Maryland. And when I say we do magic, I really mean it. Because our pets literally change people's lives when they come in to visit. It's just a fantastic thing.
So walk us through a typical pet therapy visit. What's that like?
What it's like is it starts at home because our pets are all family pets. They have, you know, pet parents and pet siblings, and they're just regular old dogs, cats, guinea pigs. And they get ready. And for many of the dogs, that requires grooming. We do need to make sure their nails are trimmed. A lot of our pet parents dress their animals up to go make visits. It's really cute. So it's a little bit of prep at home. Most of our volunteers will tell you when they get their collars and leads, and some of them have vests that they wear, their pets know it's time to go to work. And they will literally settle down and say, okay, I'm going to go do something. And then they take their ride. All of our volunteers have a designated facility that they visit for at least an hour a month. And I have to tell you, almost everybody does way more than an hour a month because we have the best people on earth, too. But once they get there, their job is literally just to make people smile. It's the best thing ever. That's all you have to do is spend an hour of your day making someone smile. Now, in all honesty, they do a lot more than that. There are times when little miracles occur because of our pet visits, and those are really, really special.
Like what?
We had one fantastic situation with a veterans facility, actually. We have our Southern Maryland coordinator, Sharon, brought her fantastic husky mix, Skye, who looks just like a direwolf, and they went to a veterans facility, and there was a gentleman in the hallway, and they paused, and he petted Skye, and at the end of the, you know, end of his session with her, he said thanks and moved off. And Sharon noticed the looks on the staff and went over and said, is everything okay? Should I not have approached him? Because of HIPAA violations, we don't always know what we should and shouldn't do. But our volunteers are very careful. But they looked at her and said, he hasn't been speaking. And we were a little stunned about that. So she came back on her next visit and found the gentleman again. And he said hello, and he petted Skye, and then again he said thanks for visiting. And the staff pulled her aside and said, look, he's not been communicating. The gentleman had severe PTSD, and he was having a really hard time transitioning back to real life. So they developed a way for them to work together, and every visit Sharon would come. And what they found is that when he was touching Skye with both of his hands, he was literally grounding himself enough that he was able to relax and speak. And it got to a point where they had conversations and they were really able to use this. And they asked if she would come on a weekend so that he could talk to his family and start communicating. And they did this over a period of probably about 6 months. And sure enough, that helped bring him back to the point where he could just have Skye next to him. He didn't even have to be touching her, and he was comfortable enough to start communicating again. So we literally helped that man bridge his way back into his reality.
That's beautiful.
It was.
That really is maybe more than small miracle.
It is.
There.
That's why I say we do magic.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, where did Pets on Wheels begin?
It began with an experiment. Actually, there was an allergist at Sinai Hospital in Baltimore, and he noticed that his nursing home patients were kind of depressed. And he thought, I feel better when I see my pet. Maybe they would, too. So he started with four volunteers going to four different places, and he judged the effects. That was in 1982. And since then, we now visit over 400 facilities and events each year.
All throughout Maryland?
Throughout Maryland, west of the Bay, yeah. We focus in sort of the I-95 corridor, if you will.
Yeah.
We sort of go from Harford County all the way down through Montgomery and Anne Arundel, and Baltimore County is where we were born, so we have a very high concentration in the Baltimore area.
And volunteers are really the heart of the organization.
Volunteers are everything. We talk about our volunteer teams because although our volunteers will be likely to tell you it's the pets that do all the work, they do also. And when we evaluate groups, we evaluate the team as a whole.
Well, what does it take to be a therapy pet?
You know, that's a question that we get a lot, and my answer is it takes the right temperament, and that is the absolute essential for the animal and for the person. Some people will be able to do hospice work. Some people will be able to do dementia work. Some people do reading programs. And some pets do all of that, too. The key issue is temperament. We are somewhat unusual because we allow any kind of animal. If it meets our temperament requirements and our health requirements, you can be a therapy pet. So we have primarily dogs, but we have a significant number of cats. We have a gigantic African sulcata tortoise. We have a harlequin macaw.
When you say gigantic tortoise, what does that mean?
I'm talking like 75 pounds of wasabi. and when I talk about wearing outfits, Wasabi has a wardrobe that puts mine to shame.
Wow.
Now, there's a reason for that, because Wasabi needs either heating or cooling packs most of the time, being a reptile. And her handler, you know, has been a zookeeper, so she has a very, very good home. But Wasabi gets dressed up, and she has been Mrs. Santa. She has evening gowns. She has summer frocks. And she's hysterical. And let me tell you something, that tortoise has personality.
That's great.
She's a hoot. But she's one of our more unusual ones. We have a blue panther chameleon, Jeannie, which is extraordinary. Jeannie's on hiatus right now because Jeannie's a little dehydrated and a little delicate. But that's an amazing animal. The kids go crazy for Jeannie. Jeannie also has siblings, I guess, if you will. A harlequin macaw named Jubilee, who is extraordinary. An eclectus parrot, a female red one named Missy. And two ferrets, Abu and Pabu. We do allow them to visit together because they really do need the security of having two ferrets there. And we also have some guinea pigs. And Everlast, our alpaca.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what types of places do they go, and how do you pair up? What animal goes to what place?
When we do our temperament screenings, we evaluate at that point what pet might be a really good match. Some of them are obviously wonderful and sturdy, and you look at them and go, this is a kid pet. Some of them have a wonderful, calm temperament, and you think, this might be a good hospice pet. So we recommend to our volunteers, but we do allow our volunteers to choose. We've got an extensive list, as we mentioned, and we want them to make sure that it's the right fit. So we never lock anybody into a situation. If it doesn't work for some reason, you're allowed to change facilities. But we try to guide them. And it really comes down to the animal's temperament. Some of them, the smaller dogs, for example, may not be as good with children. Some are, but majority of them might be better with some of our older people. Interestingly enough, our exotics are actually visiting hospice down in Anne Arundel County.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's been surprisingly effective. And I was talking with Alex Rose, is their pet parent, and her business is actually taking her animals around to schools and to programs. So they are highly trained, which is why these amazing exotics are part of our program. But she has found that for some of the patients in hospice, it's such an extraordinary break that it really does give them something else to focus on. But even more than that, it's been incredible for the families.
I'm sure the rewards are on both sides.
It's I typically tend to cry when I talk about our work because it is so incredibly touching. What we do just makes things often at the darkest time a little bit brighter. And that's an incredible gift that you're able to give people.
You've mentioned a few different organizations that the animals go to, kids, hospice, you mentioned a veteran organization. What types of places beyond that?
We go to schools, we go to libraries, we go to nursing homes, we do corporate wellness events. We do a lot of college de-stressing. Those are fun because obviously we don't have anybody who's ill or in a bad situation. And the students love it. We were at the UB Law School for their finals. And they just think this is the best thing because they get to just take a break and exhale for a little while. So we do all of those sorts of things. We do the Pet Expo and some of the other pet events also. We basically go where we're needed. One of the things that we've sadly been doing more of is crisis response. And that's incredibly important, but it's difficult work. We wish it was never required, but it is. Our goal and our dream is to build toward having enough funding to have a dedicated crisis response team.
And what does that mean? What kind of crises are
that,
you responding
to? We have responded to the Capitol Gazette shooting. We were up at the Rite Aid warehouse in Perryman. We were at Great Mills High School. So often these are situations where there has been a tragedy that has been unexpected. And our job is to provide a break and some comfort and to try to help the people process what has happened.
Wow, that's powerful.
It is. It is. And it's something that it takes a specialized group. And that's why our dream is to really be able to have a dedicated group that we do more intensive training with for the people as well as for the pets.
How do the organizations find you?
Almost everybody finds us online, petsonwheels.org. And honestly, we get so many requests. We sadly can't fulfill all of them. We are hoping to grow, but it's a good place to be that we have too much need.
That sounds like it. Let's talk about what a therapy animal is. What does that mean? And what does it compare with, say, a service animal?
That's a great question. Service animals are incredibly highly trained, and they are devoted to helping one person. Their job is to help their human do something, whether that is navigate a street, open a door, alert them to a seizure. They have a very specific job to do. Therapy pets also have a very specific job, but their job is to help many people. The most important difference is that they don't have the rights of access that service animals do. For example, you can take your service animal anywhere. It is an ADA requirement. Your therapy pet is only welcome where pets are allowed. So you can't just put on a vest and go into a restaurant and say, but it's a therapy pet.
Yeah.
Now, many restaurants have outdoor patios and they think this is a great thing. And therapy pets are wonderful in those situations. But they don't have the automatic ability to go in. And their job is a lot different because they have to like everybody. And if you think about it, you don't like everybody. I don't like everybody. It takes a special animal to say, hey, I want to meet all of you. And that's the real thing that we look for when we're testing these animals.
I imagine there's a lot of research that's been done that shows how effective spending time with animals
there is. A lot of it's been done on the senior side because they've found that the improvements for dementia patients particularly are stunning. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that long-term memory is the last thing to go. So people will remember their childhood pet or they'll remember their interactions. And oftentimes that visit will bring them back so that you'll have those connections that are so often lost in dementia. One of the other areas we've done a tremendous amount of research is literacy. Our library reading programs are really popular. And a lot of people think, oh, good, I can get a break. I can bring my child in and they can read to a pet. What you don't realize is that reading to a pet is probably going to improve your child's literacy by about 30%. It's astonishing.
No kidding.
Yeah. And the reason is, it is one of the very few totally non-judgmental times when a child can practice reading skills. The dog isn't going to care if the words don't match the picture. The dog isn't going to care if it takes you 10 minutes to read a page because you have stumbled over the words. The dog's not going to notice that you're stumbling over the words. So the child gets to read without a nervous adult looking over their shoulder saying, okay, let's sound it out. The dog doesn't care what you sound out. And because of that, it takes the pressure off. And kids discover that they can enjoy books. Just the physical book is often the first step. Whereas before, a book was something associated with, oh, I must do this. It's a challenge. It's homework. I have to work on this. I won't get it right. Suddenly, the book is the gateway to spending time with the pet. So now we like books. So we'll start with liking the object. And then we move from liking the object to actually enjoying the process, because in the process of reading, you get to spend the time with the pet. And in that process, kids find that they will start to want to come back to the library. And it's almost literacy by osmosis, if you will.
Sure. Well, I have to ask, what kind of books do dogs like?
You know, our dogs prefer some of the picture books.
Sure.
They're not really fond of a lot of the, you know, the sci-fi might be too much for some of them.
That's great. Oh, wow. It's something that you certainly wouldn't think is an obvious connection with, for me at least, with what Pets on Wheels does, but literacy skills improving through reading to animals.
Yeah.
How do you find your volunteers?
Again, most of them are by referrals, or they find us. What typically happens is that someone gets the best dog on earth, and everybody thinks they have the best dog on earth, and everybody is right.
It is,
because that is the best pet for them.
Yeah.
But often they'll have a pet if they've gone through training, and for our dogs, we do recommend basic training through CGC, which is the very basic obedience title. Typically, the trainers will say, hey, you know, this animal has a temperament that might be a really good therapy pet. A lot of times people will just say, my dog loves everybody, or my cat loves everybody, and I want to share that. Because if you know animal people, we're all a little crazy, and
sure,
we all love sharing our pets,
yeah,
and talking about our pets and bringing them out. And this is a way to do that. And once you do it and you see the difference that it makes in people, you're hooked.
This is an incredible organization. You mentioned 500 volunteers?
Over 500 volunteer teams.
And I'm sure that's grown over the years.
It has. We started with four.
Right, yes.
So we've grown quite a bit.
And you mentioned petsonwheels.org.
Yes.
As a way for both volunteers to participate and for organizations that might be interested in having pets come out.
Absolutely,
and
right.
I'm sure donations as well.
Donations, absolutely. We don't receive, one of the things people don't realize is we are not funded by any health organization. The health department doesn't fund us. Your county doesn't fund us. It is individuals and corporations who are generous enough to support our work.
So how do you pay for all these visits?
It is difficult. I won't lie. Fundraising is one of our challenges, of course. And we pay for them because people care about what we do. That's literally how it works. We get a lot of memorial donations. The people that we visit will often say this was incredible. Some of the corporations that we go out and do wellness events will say, wait a minute, we love this. We need to support it. And we want more people to do that. So thank you for allowing us to share our story, because what we find is that when people realize the impact that we have, it makes such a difference. And we deliver our visits for just about $5 a visit. It doesn't cost very much.
That's awfully low. So when
it should be higher probably, but it's, you know, so literally if you can only make a $5 donation, you're going to get a visit. You're going to help somebody get a visit.
And that visit may help with literacy skills. It may help someone talk for the first time,
right,
after coping with PTSD.
It may help someone who's leaving us to have a peaceful passage.
Yeah.
For some of our hospice visitors, our pets are the only people that are with them at that final moment. And in nursing homes, something that people don't realize is that 60% of residents in nursing homes don't get regular visits. Our pets are their regular visits.
That's a tough thing
to
hear.
It's hard. It's really hard. And it was, again, going back to our creation, it was the impetus for starting the organization, is to make sure that that isn't the reality.
What are some other moments that stand out to you over the years?
We had an incredible, incredible moment at St. Vincent's Shelter for Girls. And there are some very troubled young ladies who are there, and they're often in a tough point in their life. They're in transition. They may be coming from situations that are challenging. So they're not in the best of places. And we have a wonderful volunteer, Michelle, who goes with her rescued Weimaraner, Layla. and they go. And Michelle had a great situation where the girls were there and they were getting a little rambunctious. So they got settled down and, you know, and one of the girls was interacting with Layla and came up at the end of the visit and said, "Miss Michelle, I think I know why you come here." And Michelle said, "Okay, what's that?" And the girl looked at her and said, "Layla was abused and she was kind of broken when you got her, right?" And Michelle said, "Well, yeah, she was." And the girl said, "We are too, but Layla made it. And so can we."
Oh my gosh.
I know, I'm like tearing up. It was such a moment because those girls realized by seeing that dog that she made it through and that they were interacting with a survivor and they were survivors.
And I don't know if that moment could have been possible with anyone else but Layla.
No, I don't think that it could. That was just a special moment. And we have those. That's the magic that I like to talk about. You know, I will sometimes say we change lives, and it's so trite. But for that girl, we probably did.
Sure.
So that one visit that somebody funded, that somebody cared enough to say, "Hey, I'm going to give you some money," was literally going to change that girl's life.
We're talking about Pets on Wheels. Again, the website is petsonwheels.org, and you can learn about volunteering and how your organization could request a pet therapy visit. With Pets on Wheels, how long have you been the executive director?
I have been here for 3 years, but I was a volunteer with my very first dog.
And what led you to Pets on Wheels?
You know, when we got our first pet, it was our trainer who was talking about, you know, what can you do with your pet besides adore and spoil them. And she mentioned that this organization existed. I had had many family members who who were in situations where they were in a nursing home or needed some assistance. As a kid, my dance troupe had gone into nursing homes, so I knew what difference it would make to visit. So we signed up, and we took Somerville to visit Lori in Riverside, and I saw what a difference it made. Somerville passed, and we didn't continue the work because we got new dogs, and we do require that you have to have your pet for at least 6 months, and they must be 1 year old. I did bring in our rescue pet and trained him with the intention of being a therapy pet. And although there's no specific training, you can acclimate your pet, get them used to loud noises, get them used to seeing a wheelchair, get them used to someone petting them perhaps a little disjointedly. Some of our developmentally disabled clients aren't coordinated, so they may smack the animal a little more than pet them. I have two wonderful black lab mixes that you can tie their ears in knots, and they aren't part of the program, unfortunately, because their energy is too high.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What I didn't think about was mixing hunting dogs with hunting dogs
okay.
was not the brightest decision for trying to get a therapy pet. So they're great one-on-one, but their energy level is super high, and my older dog is not so fond of other animals. So the pets do need to tolerate other animals as well.
And you are strict. You know, there's no exceptions even for the executive
director.
Not
even for me. Nope.
And then how did you land into this role with the
organization? You know, a colleague of mine was on the board and happened to mention that the organization was looking for an executive director and was reaching out to see if I knew anybody. And I was at a place where giving back was really important to me, and I happened to have finished a large project. So I had some bandwidth, and I said, you know, I've always loved this organization. And it would be kind of cool to be able to really work with them and help this organization flourish. And I'm here, and I get to work with the best people ever. And I get to play with animals, and it's really kind of cool.
Well, what's next for Pets on Wheels?
What's next for us is professionalizing. We have been recently embarking on a real goal to make sure that we codify and professionalize what we do. As you pointed out, it's a big organization. 500 people is basically a mid-sized company.
Yeah.
So we are in the process of really making sure that everybody understands what the requirements are. In the last 2 years, we have formalized our code of ethics. We have put in writing some more of our training policies and procedures. We have updated our temperament testing so that it is a little bit more rigorous and people understand what's required. And we are hoping at some point to grow to have full-time staff. Right now, we're all part-time, which is part-time and a lot of pro bono.
Sure.
But we're hoping to grow to have full-time staff so that we can really meet even more of those needs and help develop more specific programs that might be tailored to a little more goal-oriented. We're doing a pilot test right now in one of the school districts with elementary schools using the PETs to encourage kids not to drop out.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're worked into the curriculum, but that takes a lot of time, obviously, to do the meetings and develop the curriculum. So it's really our goal is to professionalize and be available to do more of these specialty needs, and also our dream goal of having our crisis response team.
Well, keep up the good work. Incredible organization. Proud that you're here in Maryland and serving Marylanders.
We're honored to do it. It is truly an honor to do this work.
PetsOnWheels.org to find out more on getting your pet to be a therapy pet, or to request an organization visit, or to donate.
Thank you so much.
Just $5, right?
Absolutely.
Per visit.
$5 per visit.
Thanks, Gina.
Thank you.